moms. Welcome to episode 14. Today, we're going to talk about how to finish a school year strong. I can't wait for you to listen in. Hello, moms. Welcome to the Front Parking Spot podcast. I am so glad you're here. I'm Jennifer Bosma, wife, mom, grandma, former teacher for 23 years, and now a Christian children's book author and your podcast host. Are you a faith-based mom trying to live out a Christian life for your family? Do you want to learn more ways that you can have power over your child's spiritual growth? Inside this podcast, you will find tried and true ideas to grow in your faith and be the best wife and mom you can be. So listen in as you're cleaning up, doing the drive, or matching that sock, and be encouraged to know that God has his front parking spot set aside for you. Hey, moms, welcome to episode 14. I know that you all are very excited that the end of the school year is approaching. It is April. Some of you may have just finished spring break. Some of you may be looking at spring break in the next couple weeks. Wherever you are in the school year, I remember it well. I'm a former educator for 23 years. I taught mostly third and fourth grade in elementary school, but this is for any elementary school parent as you are looking at the end of the year. And I wanted to give you some ways that you can finish the school year strong. There's a lot of cool ways here that I want to share with you. Number one, for your child to finish the school year strong, they need to do a resource check. And what I mean by that is this time of year, pencils do not have erasers on them. Crayons basically are down to nubs. Some markers work, some are all dried out. Glue sticks are usually bone dry. So ask your child, hey, what are some things you need? I'm sure your pencils are running low. Have your kids get some new resources. Send them in with some new things, a little Ziploc bag, nothing fancy, just for their own personal supply. But they're going to be able to finish the school year out a lot stronger when they have a pencil that works and they're not scraping by to try to find something to get their work done. Also, the classroom is going to be low on supply as well. So if your child will have a leg up if they come in with some new pencils and crayons, that's a great way to be productive and finish the year strong. Number two is lead by example. Now, I wanted to talk to you about, like, don't have a school countdown. Like, there's 29 days of school left. There's 28 days of school left. You get the gist. I remember when I was teaching, there would be some teachers that would actually post this on their boards. And I was like, and I just felt so sad because I felt like the kids felt that they were the teacher wanted to get rid of them. And I remember when my daughter was in school, she had a teacher that did this and she felt like she could not wait. This teacher could not wait to get rid of the class and actually made my daughter feel bad. So ever since that happened when I was teaching, I never had a countdown. And what was really fun about it is we would celebrate, okay, we're done with April. We're looking into May. And then we would look into all the fun holidays. In April, you know, the Earth Day was always something fun. We always did fun with the Earth, something fun with the Earth. And then in May, you've got Mother's Day, and you've got usually some field days that are popping up. So go by events on the calendar, not how many days of school left. Because I remember when I was teaching, all of a sudden we'd be at 1 week of school left. I'm like, whoa. Then I would say, are we really only at 3 days? And I would tell my class that I was in denial that they're not going to be leaving me. And I really did think that that kind of made a great classroom culture. So if you can kind of be aware of that, of the home culture regarding school, that's really helpful. Another thing, parents, I know a lot of your schools are testing right now. They're doing milestones or they're doing the yearly testing. I want to tell you, parents, please do not give any added stress around testing. I would be so frustrated and I would feel so sad for my students that had parents that were like requesting from me more study packets or more online practice or more ways to study for this test or that test or do like online tests, like online, they would go online and do online tests and answers. Okay, number one, I'm going to tell you the truth. The teacher never looks to see if this is really done. She tells, I mean, I know all myself and my teacher friends, we would put it out there and usually we could go online and we could see that, you know, kids, you can see some data on there, but this is, I don't know how your teacher is, but don't give them added stress. If they have to do a couple and the teacher asks them to do it like five a night, well then do the five a night, but don't make them go to do more because that just makes your child to be a bundle of nerves. And I would just be so sad when when I would see kids nervous. Tell them that testing is fun because testing gets to show everything that they've learned through the year, and it's okay. And they can just, you give them testing strategies. You can get down to the two of the answers that you think are the right ones, and then pick your gut that you really think is the right one. And it's okay if they get it wrong. I mean, quite honestly, I really believe that testing is just for the schools and for their accreditation and for them to validate how their teachers are doing. It is way more for the schools than for your individual child, because I would get test results. I would probably flip them, like when I was teaching, if I got my third grade test results, you know, for the next year or the year before, whatever students I would have, I would flip through it, look at it real quick, and know that they are coming to my classroom in the fall. They took these tests in the spring. They've grown in the summer. Where they were in May is not where they are in my classroom in the fall when we would start. So I would not really hold much. I would wait to these tests. You know, they're going to do just fine, but do not give them the added stress. Tell them, and I would tell this to my students, to be excited and to have fun with it. And if they get the random hard question, that's a field question, because they do put field questions in there that have nothing to do with the curriculum. Just tell them, you know, talk to them about it that night when you get home. What was the hardest question you had, or what weren't you sure of, you know, but just make it fun. Just don't make it stressful. All right. That's very, very important. Let them have fun with it and not have test stress, I like to call it. Number three, stick with your routine. A lot of times in the spring, it's daylight longer, so the kids want to stay up longer. They want to watch more shows. Please don't have your kids stay up really late. Put them to bed. Have them go to bed at their normal time. Stick with the routine, because they're going to feel so much better during school if they stick with their bedtime. That makes a lot better. Also, when you're reading books, keep reading the books. Don't ever stop reading books. I would like to tell my kids, when it was spring or summer, read the spring or summer books. Read the books about going to summer camp and get the topics of going to the lake house or a week in the woods. There's so many fun books, or Island of the Blue Dolphin. And that's obviously an upper fifth grade book. I used to read my kids, the fourth and fifth graders would like Escaping the Giant Wave by Peg Carrot. It was about a tsunami, and it's about a kid in probably about fifth grade. And he has a bully who's also on this trip with him. So it has but it does have some real life issues in it too. But it's a really captures the kid's attention. But that's obviously a fourth or fifth grade book. But read some fun books. Read Baby by Patricia McLaughlin. That's about a coastal town out east and how they get ready for summer. There's a lot of good books that you can research and find some books that go with the time with school ending. Also, number four, set reasonable goals. Like, as schools finish out, they're going to be pushing for, get your accelerated reader goal or your math mania goal, whatever your school focuses on with their goals. You know, maybe there's some things that they're trying to strive for. Make it in moderation. I mean, just have them get their goal, but it's just a piece of paper certificate. It's not the end all. It's going to go in a box when summer starts and no one's going to care about it. So just don't give your kids a lot of stress with that stuff, but still have them finish the goals they want and let them be reasonable goals. Don't let them blow off everything. Let them just, you know, what do we want to work on? Where are we short? Where do we need to still do to get your classroom goal? I'm sure good teachers will have fun, obtainable goals for them, but don't stress your child out or burn them out trying to get all this cramming in before the end of the year. Set reasonable goals. And number five, celebrate their accomplishments. In episode 12, I talked about having really good dinners and mealtimes and dinner conversations in episode 12. This is a great thing to talk about at the end of the year. What was your high of the year? What is your low of the year? And what's a big thing you learned this year? And keep those learning things going throughout the summer. I know this is a great time of year to really look at the summer sky, and May is a great time. If you get I have not even a very expensive telescope, but I saved up for it. And 1 year I got a $300 telescope. It's pretty big, but you can actually see the rings of Saturn and the rings of Jupiter. And you can see the rings of Saturn. You can see the rings of Jupiter. It's actually kind of amazing when you actually get a telescope and enjoy the night sky And well, the moon's a Jupiter. You can just, it's just amazing what you can see when you look in the night sky and just embrace this time of year. So celebrate the accomplishment, great dinner conversations. And so when you talk, learned, I know in fourth grade, they do a lot with the solar system in Georgia, but talk about like what you learned. And so that's a great dinner conversation for your high and your low and what you learned. Now, another one of my teacher friends, I was asking them, what are some things that we want parents to know when they're looking into the following year? What are some things that parents can work on throughout the summer? Not necessarily those workbooks. I mean, if workbooks help to do a page or two, or just, there's so many more creative things you can do than paper pencil from a workbook, like those Summer Bridge reading things. I remember my kids, I'd pull those out. They're like, no, mom, don't do that. You can do other things too. But let's talk about like, what are some social emotional things that you can do with your kids to make them better? What I mean by social emotional, does your child know how to tie their shoe? Now I'm switching back to like more younger elementary, kindergarten, first grade. Do they know how to tie their shoe? Okay, a lot of kids don't. I have tied so many third graders' shoes on recess. So make sure your child knows how to tie their shoe. The next thing to make your child be aware of, make sure they can ride their bike really well. And please, 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 please make your child wear a helmet. Don't even want to go in the stories about the importance of helmets and riding their bike. That's very, very important. But make sure they can ride their bike. Make sure, get them in a swim lesson. Get them on a summer swim team. Make sure that they can swim. That is so important. That is a life skill. That's something that's really, really important. Work with them. Play basketball with them. I just got the really cool, fun game for my granddaughter. It was one of those, it was like a hand paddle that you put on your hand that has Velcro on it. And the tennis ball has Velcro on it. So you throw it and they catch it on that little pad and you do catch. And it was such a great way to teach her how to play catch. So do things like that. Also, another thing you can do with your younger one is make sure they're holding their pencil right. If their grip looks funny, work with them on getting their grip right. And you can even go and look on some tutorials online about that to make sure they're holding their pencil right. Because moms, I want you to know that when they are in school, their teacher does not have time to do some of these like social, emotional, like fine motor things with them. Their teacher is so busy with curriculum and so busy with the things that they have to do throughout the day that these fine motor things are going to get, you know, looked, you know, overstepped. Also, the other thing is work with your kids on states and capitals over the summer. Do you know, I know that in many, many school districts, states and capitals have been taken out of the curriculum. That is a standard that I think everybody needs to know. States and capitals, pull out the state puzzle. Let them get to know those fun kinds of engaging hands-on things that you can do with your kids. Yeah, so those are some things that I would really highly recommend for you to do now as they're finishing the school year and as you're looking into the summer days. So just don't, you know, mix it up. We don't need to be watching all the electronics. I will have a different podcast on the electronics thing very shortly, but please limit that. Let them get outside. Let them play. Have a little, if they want to watch a little bit of some of their favorite shows, that's great, but really get them outside and work on these fine motor things that they can do throughout the summer. Well, moms, I hope this helps as you're looking at the end of the year, how to finish a school year strong. I am so glad you're listening in. I would love you to subscribe to my website. My website's at, you can find it on jenniferbosma.com or fromparkingspot.com. Subscribe to my website so I know you're there. And remember, if you need any books for any family members that are having babies for baby showers or anything else, I know the plans is there, and also the baby garden. Well, I hope you finish this year strong. Be a blessing. Enjoy these days with your kids' teachers. And I know another thing, you know, just keep praying with your kids and know that their next year's teacher is going to be the perfect one for them. Trust the system. Trust your prayers. God is bigger than we all are, and he knows the best place for your child next year as teacher selections are being made too. Well, I hope this was helpful. I hope you all have a great day and finish a school year strong. Thanks for listening in. Well, mamas, thank you so much for joining in. I know you are up super busy doing all the things that can consume your day, but you took a couple of minutes to learn how God wants to build you up in your faith, family, and life, and He wants to applaud you for this. Please subscribe and review my show. This helps other moms tune in as well. I'd love to connect with you on Instagram at Front Parking Spot, on Facebook at Front Parking Spot Mom Community, or my website at jenniferbosma.com. Have an Ephesians 3:20 type of day, mamas, and be encouraged as you go for the front parking spot in your life today. God bless.